most of your life is not determined by your external reality. It's determined by your internal reality. So I used to like to ask men who were good fathers or who would self-identify as either a bad father or mother. You know, I'd ask them, why do you think you're a bad father or a good father? And the bad fathers would almost all go, well, my father was a really bad father and I didn't have any good role models. But it was interesting that the guys who were good fathers, some of them had, you know, would go, oh, my dad was a great father, so I learned how to do it. But about half of them would go, my father was a terrible father. And when I was a child, I decided when I grow up, I'm going to be a good father. So same experience, but their inner reality was different.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So speaking of inner badass, I want to talk about something that actually gets in the way of that. And I don't have a word for it, but I can describe it as a feeling. It's that time when you go into a room or you have an interaction with someone and you depart from that interaction and you just feel drained. There is something that is in your energetic field as a result of that interaction, and it has left you vibrating at a different place than where you started. In my practice, I've observed that women more than men are attuned to these feelings. We pick up on them perhaps a little bit faster. The unfortunate part is these feelings and this energy, this can penetrate into our relationships. It can get in the way of our productivity. And when we're talking about our businesses or our missions, it can definitely get in the way of our ability and capacity to amplify. My guest today, Art Geiser, is an expert at removing and clearing this energy. He's been an energetic NLP or neuro-linguistic programming practitioner for the last 30 years, and he has a particular focus in working with mission-driven individuals to help them understand and tap into their own energetics, their own energetic karma, and how to get rid of other people's energy so you can accelerate in the mission you were meant to do. This interview was not only interesting, but it was practical as he took us through an exercise to help us clear other people's energy and small tidbits and tricks that we can use on a regular basis to keep ourselves flowing forward. It was immensely interesting, totally fascinating, and it's one of those factors that is a below the surface secret to success. It was truly a pleasure to have the opportunity to interview Art Geiser. Art Geiser, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Oh, hi, Megan. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. I've actually been looking forward to this interview all day because it's sort of this intersection between energetics and personal development and entrepreneurship. And these are sort of my favorite topics to dive into. So maybe before we do that, if you could take us through a bit of a background and context related to your personal journey and the steps and events that got you to this place in your career.
I'd be happy to. And my background has some very different paths that all fit together for me. So my father was one of the early computer guys, I mean, mainframe computers. And I always wanted to be a scientist when I grew up and loved science and logic. But I was always also fascinated by the mystical and what they used to call extrasensory perception and telepathy. And on some level, I knew there was a reality to that, too. But After college, I managed a research lab for the University of California Medical School in San Francisco, which, if people haven't heard of it, it's one of the top research institutions in the world. And we were studying the effects of estrogen and progesterone on the tissues in a woman's body. And it was a great job. I mean, I could go to lunch and listen to Nobel laureates speak and Watson, Crick. I mean, a lot of fascinating people. And I knew I didn't belong there. And I was proud of what we were doing, but I just knew I didn't belong there. But I didn't know. I just couldn't figure out where I wanted to put my energies. And this went on for years and years. And I started feeling, I mean, my life was great on other levels. I had true love. I had a lot of fun. But I just felt like I was letting myself down, that I didn't really belong there. And I'd always had this belief that my path was going to just appear. But then I started thinking, well, maybe I'm just kidding myself. Maybe that's just an excuse. So I started doing things to try to get out of my stuckness, which, by the way, I was a very adventurous person. So my friends, my family, nobody could figure out why I was so stuck, which I understand now. But I was at a talk, and I went out in this hallway, and there was a bulletin board, and they had different posters up, and one said neuro-linguistic programming. And when I read the words, it literally felt like a bolt of lightning hit me on the top of the head, went through my midline, and like, boom. And the scientist in me went, what was that? And the mystic in me went, well, it was a sign. What do you think it was? But I was very skeptical. But I mean, I was intrigued, but I like, okay, this is a sign, but, you know, may or may not mean anything. And I went back to the talk, and it was a talk on intuition, and they were selling different books. And for some reason, they were selling this one NLP book, neuro-linguistic programming book. And it had nothing to do with intuition, but I thought, now that's interesting. So I bought it, started reading it. And I'd always been fascinated by psychology, but it always seemed too dogmatic and rigid, you know. You know, men want to kill their father and sleep with their mother, and women want penises and all that. It was like fascinating ideas, but it just didn't feel like true to me. And when I started reading about NLP, it felt really true. And some things were, I would go like, oh yeah, I thought that, or other things like, never thought that, but it makes so much sense. But they were making really extravagant claims. So we can cure a phobia in one session and change beliefs really rapidly. And so the scientist in me was going, but that sounds suspicious. But I was really intrigued. And I heard about him. People wouldn't know his name now because he retired back in the 80s. But Michael Lebeau was a really major developer in NLP. And I heard he was giving a course near San Francisco where I lived. And it was a super advanced course. I had no business being there. It was really expensive. It was 10 days and five days. I was going to have to take vacation time, which, if any of your listeners are in other countries, we Americans don't get a lot of vacation time. So, but I just felt like I've got to find out if this is good. And even if I'm not qualified for this class, and even if it's expensive and hard to get to and everything, I thought, at least I'll find out, is this real? And 5 minutes into it, I went, oh, I am in the right place. And then what happened is when I came back the next month for the second 5 days, and I was like, having fun, but I was overwhelmed and confused because I didn't know anything you were supposed to know. And there were about 60 people. A lot of them were therapists, master practitioners of NLP, trainers. And when I came back, 5 or 6 people came up to me and said, you know, when we were practicing that process last time, I went, yes. And they go, it changed my life. And I go, really? Like that. And so I decided, well, I love this. And apparently I'm at least pretty good at it. So I devoted myself to studying it. And luckily for me, this was in Marin County, north of San Francisco. There were a few people who were into healing work and energy work and psychic work. And one of them said, oh, you ought to come over to our house on Wednesday night because Lynn and Stacy Martin are in town and they're these amazing psychics. And I went, well, it sounds like fun. And I got there late and we were all sitting in a big circle and Lynn had his eyes closed. So he hadn't heard or seen me. He had no information about me. And everybody got to ask him a question. And when he would give an answer, I would look at the, and sometimes the answer didn't seem like a big deal to me, but the person, like their jaw would draw up and open. And it was clear whatever he said to them was really targeted. But if they asked, like, for guidance on a decision, he'd always go, you have free will, not for me to tell you what to do. So sometimes I'm a little stubborn. So when it got to me, I went, I'm learning NLP and I really love it and I'm good at it, but I don't know what to do with it. Should I teach it? Should I have a one-on-one practice? Should I take it into corporations? Which, by the way, I ended up doing all those things. It's in healing work. But I thought I had to figure out one, you know. And he goes, as usual, well, you have free will. It's not for me to tell you. And I'm thinking, damn. And then he goes, but there's something else. And he proceeds to tell me my biggest fear that I had never mentioned to anybody. And it may not have sounded like that big a deal to anybody else, but my jaw was on my knees. And then he goes, you don't have to worry about that, and goes on to the next person. So I felt like this weight come off my body. And he was teaching a workshop the next weekend. So I cleared the decks, you know, canceled everything that was going on. And by the end of those 2 days, we were doing miraculous things. The only, I haven't seen him since, but I love him. I'm grateful to him. He didn't teach us how to do it safely was the one problem. But that's what really got me started.
I love that. And now, how long have you been working with NLP in your own career?
Over 33 years now.
Amazing. So your experience is deep and broad, and you have seen it all. So for those of people who are listening and they're like, okay, I'm totally intrigued. What is NLP? And how was this whole system of thinking formalized or discovered or systematized into what it is now?
Well, NLP, the name is Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and it's really the study of the nature of subjective experience, the nature of subjective experience. And what that means is, in NLP, we would go, most of your life is not determined by your external reality, it's determined by your internal reality. So I used to like to ask men who were good fathers or who would self-identify as either a bad father or mother. You know, I'd ask them, why do you think you're a bad father or a good father? And the bad fathers would almost all go, well, my father was a really bad father and I didn't have any good role models. But it was interesting that the guys who were good fathers, some of them had, you know, would go, oh, my dad was a great father, so I learned how to do it. But about half of them would go, my father was a terrible father. And when I was a child, I decided when I grow up, I'm going to be a good father. So same experience, but their inner reality was different. And that's not about blaming anybody. But NLP is about, how do you change your inner reality so you're successful, whether it's in health, love, entrepreneurship, being an artist, being a mathematician. It's what's going on inside of the mind. What are the ways in which we think that either mess up our lives and limit it or expand it? And it's an amazing field, amazing, amazing field.
And you have overlaid your own energetic practice and your own energetic experience on top of that when you work with clients. So what does that look like for someone who would be working with you?
So energetic NLP is like a unique blend of spiritual principles, transformative energy work, psychic development, and NLP. And the reason I started putting them together is, so I'd be doing NLP sessions with people, and most of the time getting amazing results, but sometimes it wouldn't work. And then I was also separately learning to do energetic healing and transformative work and getting amazing results, but sometimes it didn't work. And I started realizing that when the energy work didn't work, if I switched to an NLP mode and work with the limiting beliefs or different kinds of things that were getting in the way, all of a sudden the energy work would work. And if I was working with somebody with NLP and it wasn't working, if I started looking at their karma or spiritual contracts or energetic programming or past lives, all of a sudden that would work. So I started putting it together. So the way an energetic NLP session looks is, one of the first things about it that's unusual for people is we always start by the person, whether it's a student of mine or a client, we always put their inner wisdom and their spirit in charge of what happens to them. So not what I think, not what they consciously think, but their inner wisdom and spirit. And when their inner wisdom and spirit are working as a team, It creates something, and we call that your miraculous self, or just your M. The reason for the two of those is a person's spirit has that vast perspective on everything. And to the spirit, a lot of things look valid. So the spirit is almost like the perfect parent, like whatever you want, dear. You want to start a business and have it fail? Like, well, that's a valid spiritual path. You want to start a business and have it work? Well, that's valid too. It's not that it doesn't care, but it's looking at such a big picture. It sees everything we do as a valid spiritual path, almost everything. I mean, you know, if you want to become a serial killer, your spirit would go, no. But there's a wide range where your inner wisdom is human, and it can go to your spirit. I know that if I'm struggling and I don't have love and I don't have abundance, that's a valid spiritual path, but I don't enjoy it. Can we do something different?
Right.
You know, so when they work together, you develop spiritually in a way that makes your practical life more and more wonderful. And I want to be clear, it's not about bulletproofing your life. There's a lot of New Age thing stuff that, like, and I'm mostly a New Agey kind of guy, but people are trying to make it so nothing bad happens, they never have challenges, and that's just not a human life. If things happen, that's part of our paths. I mean, there's a limited number of people that they just kind of, nothing ever bad happens in their lives or to anybody they know, but, you know, that's a handful of people. Most of us, things happen. People that we care about, they get sick or they die or things happen to us, and that's part of our life. So in energetic NLP, what I want for the people in my programs is that no matter what's happening in their life, they have a foundation of spiritual joy. They feel guided and supported. And they not just handle life, but they more like dance with it.
I love that.
Oh, thanks.
How does one tap into and connect with this notion of the miraculous self? Because that's not an intuitive place, I don't think, for most people. Maybe it is, and we need to get back to it.
No, I think for most people, it barely exists. People go, oh, like your high self. And I go, no, your high self is just there. Your miraculous self, you're creating and you're making stronger. I mean, it has a little bit of an existence. And I discovered that because I would be working with people and their spirit would want one thing, their soul would want another thing, their conscious mind would want something, their unconscious mind would want four different things, their body would want something else. And we realized we had to create whole being permission with the spirit, the soul, the conscious mind, the unconscious mind, the body were in alignment. Because even with people that have done a lot of spiritual or personal work, very often they're not in alignment. So that it's something you need to create and continuously work with. And the good news, it's not hard. It's just knowing how to do it. Some basic things, how to get more in touch with all that. We're always doing clearing or cleaning. We're doing healing and we're doing opening and enhancing and connecting. If you look at your hands right now and like imagine what your hands would look like if you'd never washed them ever in your life. You know, they'd be covered with gunk. And it wouldn't be just that they'd be covered with gunk, but you would think the gunk was you because it was always there. And, might change a little bit, but you go, that's me. And if you fell in a lake or a stream and they got washed off, you go, you touch your hands and go, what is this stuff? Oh, this is different, but this feels like me. This feels right, and I can move better, and I feel better. It's like, well, our energy feels like every part of us collect energies. They get dirty constantly. And if we don't clean them, they get clogged up with other people and other groups' energies. Energy carries information and emotion. And sometimes that sounds odd to people, but the only way we can transfer as human beings information is through energy. So right now, people can listen to you and I. It's all being done energetically. Even if we were in the same room, somebody's moving their mouth. It's the energy's moving through the molecules in the air. It hits your eardrum. It gets turned into neurochemical signals. All information transfer is energetic. So if you're absorbing energy from another person, it's not just energy. And it's not whether it's good or bad. It's them. It's got their beliefs, their limitations, their desires, their emotions. And because we experience it as being inside of ourselves, we think it's part of us. So like, why am I? So to give an example, let's say when we're in the womb, our parents are already already programming us. Even if like you never knew your father or mother, people are programmed to program their children. It's a very deeply embedded. And that's a good thing because you have to understand that the society you're born into or you won't survive or you certainly won't flourish. So parents don't realize it, but they're broadcasting programming even into the fetus, let alone after you're born. And that programming isn't just coming from them. It's coming from their parents and their parents' parents and their parents' parents. So there's all this ancestral programming coming in along with your parents' individual stuff. And to make it even more complex, and not more complex, but more challenging, is even when we're in the womb, we're trying to heal our parents because we love them and because there's an awareness that if the giants are in bad shape, we're in big trouble. So let's say one of your parents is really, really anxious. Often the fetus will start absorbing some of the anxiety to take it to give relief to the parent. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. So then the person can be 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 50-year-old, and they're going, I'm anxious. I've always been anxious. I guess this is part of my body. Maybe it's biochemical or DNA or something, but I'm always anxious. And I go into therapy and I learn to take a deep breath and I can slow down, but I'm always anxious, you know. And they can do things like therapy and nutrition and mindfulness, and all of that really helps and is great. But they can't heal it because it's not their stuff. But they can learn to release the energy. And when they release the energy, the thoughts, the programming and emotion, then they can start getting in touch with their own emotions, their own thoughts, you know, their own heart's desires.
And that's when the NLP really gets to take over.
Yeah, the energetic NLP, I'd say. But you use energetic NLP to get there.
Right.
And I can, if you want, during this interview, I can teach people a really simple process to start clearing their energy.
I would love that. I have one question first.
Yeah.
Which is just around the vulnerability of one individual versus another to take on people's energy. Because I feel like I attract highly sensitive people into my practice. and you probably have opinions on that too, but these people are uniquely sensitive to picking up other people's energy. What's the deal with that?
It's a skill, but like a lot of skills, if you don't learn how to work with it, it becomes a problem. So to give a different kind of example, let's say somebody had fantastic hearing. Well, if you're in a noisy world, which most of us are, if you don't learn how to turn off some of what you're hearing, you'll go crazy. So a lot of people are naturally everybody has natural energetic abilities, but some people have been programmed in such a way that it's shut all the way down or partially down, or they have different levels of control over it, you know, not consciously, but they have control mechanisms. Some people are just wide open. The first psychic workshop I went to with this Lynn Martin, he opened up our abilities, and I love Lynn to death, but he didn't teach us how to do it safely. So I started absorbing everybody's energies. And at the time, I was one of those people, like, I was like a slightly overweight kid. I went through puberty and I was muscular. I mean, I just was this naturally strong person, and I wrestled and I played football in high school. So I look like a, you know, picture of health. I was, you know, the person at gym, everybody come up to and go, how do you do this exercise? And I go, I don't know. I come here, fart around. Everybody hated me. But but when I started opening up energetically, I was getting clogged up with other people's energy. And I go to the doctor and I go, my stomach hurts and I'm tired all the time. And I look like the picture of health. And nobody ever called me a hypochondriac, but they test me and stuff and they go, well, there's nothing wrong with you. And I'd go, that's great, but why do I feel this way? And my sinuses were constantly clogged. And it wasn't until I met one of my future teachers, John Norman, and somebody introduced me to him, and he looked at me and he goes, you're very telepathic. He goes, you pick up a lot of people's energies in the telepathic channels. They run along the sinuses. And he goes, you think it's sinus problems. And I went, oh, my God. You know, it's like,
oh, so interesting.
It's got worse around people. And I think if they were emotional, and I thought, am I like allergic to people or what? Really, I didn't know how to understand it. And so in energetic NLP, we always teach people to clear their energy. Everybody's the sovereign of their energy field. So you're the queen of your energy field. If somebody else's energy is stuck in your energy field, it's like there's something that's like Velcro that it's hooking onto. And it can be karma. It can be spiritual contracts. It can be beliefs. It can be programming. So like for a lot of women, they have all this programming. They have to help others. So often people's energy can stick in there because there's a deep belief, oh, I must help them. And you know, that's one example. Or it's my job to heal everybody, or I'm not worthy, or you know, on and on. Or I used to have like, I can take it, so I'll take on their pain, you know.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
Yeah, and some women have that too, you know, like, I can handle it, I'll take it from them. And which was an old way of doing healing. And a lot of us have it from past lives. But in energetically, you not only clear other people's energy, but you then clear and heal what was it hooked into. And then that has all kinds of wonderful benefits in your life. And the third part is that opening and connecting to your miraculous self, your inner wisdom and spirit, to the spiritual forces around us that are willing to help us. I did just want to mention, I will go through the technique when you're ready. And if people don't need to take notes and stuff, because if they go to energeticnlp.com/ entrepreneurology, I've set up a page for your listeners, and there's three free things on it. One of it is a webinar called Three Energy Techniques You Absolutely Need to Know. And it will take people through in detail three very powerful energy techniques that will help people with clearing other people's energy out of their space, clearing what it's hooked into, grounding, and a few other things. So I just want people to know that that's available for them.
Art, that's amazing. Thank you. And we'll make sure that that's in the show notes underneath so that everyone can tap into it. Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. That's really great. And yes, I am ready. And I do want to learn about how we can clear that energetic space.
So this process, there's something that makes it really, really hard that some of the people listening will have trouble letting go of. And that is, it's really, really, really easy. And a lot of people have trouble accepting that. So if I was working with a group of 5-year-olds, they'd giggle and do it. And so I want to let people know this isn't faith healing. They don't have to believe it's going to work. But don't make it difficult. There's no effort involved in this. And there are energy systems that involve force and you make it happen. Energetic NLP is the opposite. The lighter, the more playful you are, the more your natural abilities will just blossom and come out. The other thing is in NLP and energetic NLP, we make use of the fact that the unconscious mind and the spirit really, really, really respond to metaphors and symbols. And one of the easiest way to access abilities is to just think of some metaphor for it. And it doesn't have to make any logical sense. But then the unconscious mind goes, oh, you want me to do that? And it does it. And it does it in its own way. So I'm going to invite people to use the symbol, the metaphor of a magnet. So almost everybody, at least in the Western world, has played with a magnet when they're kids. And I love when people go, I don't believe in invisible energies. I'll go, what's your opinion on gravity? You know.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've forgotten the sunburn. The light you see isn't what's giving you the sunburn. It's the invisible light. It's like, you know, science knows we're made up of energies. And we have energy fields. So we all know on a deep level, it's wired in. A magnet has energy. And the key thing is like, so if you hold up a pin near a magnet and let go of the pin, the magnet does all the work. All you have to do is let go. So in this process, all people have to do is give permission to let go. And the process is real simple, and we're going to use 4 magnets. So I invite people, and again, this isn't faith healing. They don't have to believe it works. Oh, I do have to say one thing. If any of you are driving when you're listening to this, turn this off. Either pull over or turn it off. When the energy starts flowing, which it will, it tends to make people go inward. You do not want to be inward when you're driving. So turn this off, listen to it later, or pull over.
But come back.
Yeah, come back. But it's not, you know, they'll probably get away with it. But, you know, I don't believe in doing that. So everybody just take a couple easy, deep breaths and Say hi to your inner playful child, you know, the one that just is goofy and likes to have fun, even if that's weak in you, just say hi to it. And then next, go, I'm putting my inner wisdom and spirit in charge. Again, I'm putting what we call the miraculous self, your inner spirit and wisdom working together. Just go, I'm putting my miraculous self in charge. And I'm giving it 100% permission to be in charge. And notice I'm not going, I'm putting it in charge. It's playful. It's like, yeah, okay, you're in charge. Just real easy. And then I'm going to ask all of your miraculous selves. And if I say your M, it means your miraculous self, which means your inner wisdom and spirit working together. Ask your M, your miraculous self, to scan your body and your energy field. And your energy field is in your body, but it's also around your body. It typically goes at least 9 feet above you, which is about 3 meters, at least a meter, 3 feet below you. It can go be different sizes in front and behind, left and right. Just imagine it's around you and in you. And I'm going to ask all of your miraculous selves, now your M's, to scan your energy field and identify what energies in your energy field aren't yours or aren't in present time. So they could be old emotional energy from earlier in your life. They could be other people's energies, past life energies, groups energies. But just identify what it wants you to let go right now. And we work in the energetic NLP off the Goldilocks principle. So we want what's just right. More and faster in energy work is not the same as better. So give your miraculous self permission to just work with the energy that's just right now. Because once they know how to do this, it's easy to do. And then imagine a magnet floating out at least 15, 20 feet, 6 meters in front of you. And just pretend that it has the ability to pull energies out of your energy field that your M is releasing, that your inner wisdom and spirit are releasing. So just pretend right now and go, I'm giving permission. Whatever energies easily go off from the front of my body and the whole energy field in front of me, just let them go off to the magnet. And then just pretend they're going off. You don't have to believe it, just pretend it's happening. And then that magnet drops into the earth, and the earth recycles the energy. Then float a magnet at least 6 meters, 20 feet above your head, and let it clear your whole energy field in and around your shoulders, your neck, your jaw, your teeth, your eyes, your ears, inside of your head, your forehead, the back of your head, all around your head, and right on top of your head, and then going up about 9 feet, 3 meters, just give permission for your M to use that magnet to gently release any energies you're ready to release now. Not because they're good or bad, but because they're not yours, they don't belong in present time. Easy deep breath. Drop that magnet into the earth. Let the earth recycle it. Then my favorite magnet, put one way behind you, because a lot of energy literally hides behind your back. And imagine this magnet behind you. Give it permission to work with your miraculous self, your M, to pull out of the back of your body and the back of your energy field any energies that aren't yours, aren't helping you. This includes the back of your head, neck, between your shoulder blades, behind your heart, behind your solar plexus and internal organs, behind your sexual organs, the base of your spine, your rear and thighs and knees, the back of your calves, the back of your feet. Drop that magnet into the center of the earth. Let the earth recycle the energy. And then the fourth and last magnet is in the earth. And it's going to clear from the base of your spine and all around your body and energy field, base of your spine, through your thighs, through your hip sockets, your knees, your calves, your ankles, your feet, your toes, the soles of your feet, and even going down at least a meter, 3 feet below your feet, because there's actually chakras below your feet in your energy field, but outside your body. And again, just whatever comes off easily, no tug of war. So we've just done 4 magnets. Now there's a second part to this process. It's real quick, real easy.
I'm game.
Great. It isn't just that other people's energy is stuck in our energy field. We're doing it too. We leave our energy in other people's energy field. We leave it in the past. We stick it out in the future. We leave it at work. We leave it in our cars, buses, trains, planes. We leave it on the highways. We leave it all over the place. We leave it in people's energy fields trying to help them. We leave it in people's energy fields because we're upset with them. So it's important to retrieve your own energy. Now, if anybody listening has very young children, it's appropriate to have a lot of your energy in their space if they're very young. But just put your M in charge of that. Go, okay, inner wisdom and spirit, you know, you decide what energies to pull back. And if you've left energy in other people's energy fields because you're trying to help them, your M can pull your energy back, but then bring in earth and universal energy to help them, which will even be better. So if I'm trying to help somebody, most of the time I can pull my energy back and just bring in earth and universal energies to help them. On rare occasions, it's appropriate to leave your energy in somebody else's energy field to help them. But again, you're just put your M, your miraculous self, in charge of that. So float this gold ball high above your head and let your M use it to retrieve your energy from wherever you've scattered it. That can include pets, plants, where you live. And as the energy goes in that gold ball, your M cleans it up, makes it sparkling. Now, some of that energy may have come from your energy field, but it was never truly yours. It may have been from a past life or come in the womb or later. Any energy that isn't truly authentically yours that your M doesn't want, it just sends it off into the earth to be recycled. Your authentic energy now comes down into your body, filling your body and energy field. And in the words of Aristotle, nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum, which means if you leave a space, something will fill it. So there may be space now in your energy field. Let gold energy come in and fill your entire body and energy field, filling any spaces. Gold energy is a very spiritual and yet very neutral energy. And you can use it almost like food. There's a reason kings and queens put gold crowns on their head.
Hmm.
You know, I used to, when I was younger, think, what's the big deal about gold? Well, gold, the color and the material can bring in those spiritual energies very naturally. It's not the only way to do it, but it naturally does it.
Can we use gold that way in our own lives? Like, does it have that effect?
Oh yeah, you can bring in gold energy. You can ask your M to bring in whatever energies are good for that particular thing you're doing, but you can always bring in gold energy.
Can I justify a small shopping spree? Will that help to accelerate that?
in what way?
Does wearing gold, working with stones, like having gold on you, does it actually have, does it have an energetic imprint, or does it accentuate some of these natural tendencies?
It does. It may not be the particular energy you most need to attract, but you don't. It's gold energy is all around us. You can just call on it. In fact, I did some work. I've done a lot of corporate consulting, and I was actually working in a gold mine in Ontario, Canada, and they let me go down in the mine, and we were about 3/4 of a mile down and a mile into it, and I was almost blowing it because all that gold energy, and I was talking to people going, God, it feels really good down here. Does it feel good to you? And I'm trying not to seem too weird, but I was so shocked because partially because you're in the womb of the earth, literally. But all that gold. So yeah, I don't want people to think they need it because you can just call upon it. And And gold or other crystals and stuff or minerals can be very helpful.
Okay, fair enough. I won't use you yet to leverage the that shopping spree for me. Art, talk to me a little bit about how NLP can be used to invigorate one's business.
That's something I work with a lot of heart-centered entrepreneurs. And energetic NLP has a lot of things that can really help people invigorate their business. There's a couple of aspects to it. I talked earlier about whole being permission, and this whole being permission, intention, and collaboration. So often people's spirit wants something different than their soul want, and then the conscious mind is maybe conflicted, and the unconscious mind can want 12 different things, and the body wants something different. So our goal is always to, when people align their spirit, their soul, their conscious mind, their unconscious mind, their body, everything goes more easily. But there's just so many different ways you can use this. So from a more pure NLP level, helping people working with their emotions and state management, and how do they get motivated? How do they stay motivated? Getting really clear on what their criteria is, what's important to them. Because often when people start have their businesses, they're doing a lot of what other people, and not just doing the processes other people tell them, but they've accepted other people's criteria and values. And sometimes that works, sometimes it just isn't fit. And I think for a lot of people who listen to your show, because they're spiritually minded people and people into personal development, you could go to a marketing thing and learn a lot of great things, but the energy of it might not fit for you, and you would need to retranslate it for yourself. I work with people a lot on karma. Is there karma blocking them? Are there what are called spiritual contracts, which is agreements we've made as a being, either with other beings or with groups of people? A lot of them come from past lives, and they create, it's not that they're bad, but karma creates a cage. It's like, you know, what is or isn't possible for you. Spiritual contracts create a cage. Your conscious beliefs create cages, or they open cages. All these things can either create cages or open doors. So I work with people on how to clear their karma, change their spiritual contracts, adopt the conscious beliefs that will make them successful. And everybody, that will be a little different for everybody. But what are conscious beliefs that lead to success? We work on energetic programming, which is even more insidious than unconscious programming, because most people know they have unconscious blocks in programming. Very few people realize they also have energetic blocks in programming that come from other people's energies in your space, telling you what to want, what not to want. A lot of it's ancestral programming. So, you know, particularly for a lot of women, the ancestral programming is trying to fit you into a woman's role of 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 300 years ago. And for men, it's trying to fit us into other kinds of models. You work with tapping into their own inner spirit and wisdom. But the other really big piece is there's enormous spiritual energies available to help all of us. And when you bring those into your business, the synchronicities and the doors opening and everything just, I shouldn't say everything, you still have problems and challenges, but so many things just sort of fall into place.
Well, and you see that for people. You see those people who things just sort of work out for them, right? And often when you talk to them, it's not that they're just lucky. Like there really is often a conscious alignment and practice and endeavor and commitment on their part to be able to put themselves in a state where that is also something they're open to and can act upon.
Well, that kind of the open secret of places like Silicon Valley is there are a lot of executives that use psychics and astrologers and healers, and they don't talk about it because, you know, that your stock price will go down. But I've had friends who consult with top producers in Hollywood and top people in business. And it's like everybody knows this is going on, but they don't talk about it because, the newspapers would cream them and the TV news. And I want to be clear, it isn't that things always work, but when they don't work, you go, okay, how is this unfolding for me and how do I pursue this? So take a company like Intel, that people who own PCs, almost all of them are, have the Intel inside. Intel was a company that was making, instead of making the chips for computers, they were, the CPUs, they were making what are called memory chips, and they were getting their butts kicked. And they were going down the tubes. But because of that, the people that were running the company knew they had to change things. And some mid-level engineer said, why don't we start making these new CPU chips? You know, and the rest is history, you know. And every Mac has them too. You know, it's like, you know, they dominated the industry for years, but it was only because they began to fail. Steve Jobs had so many failed businesses. And, you know, he failed at Apple, but then he came back. And each time it caused him to shift his path a little bit. So when you're on really aligning with yourself, most things go easier. And when they don't, you go, okay, where's the gift in this? Where is this taking me? And it's amazing. It opens up. Well, another example, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who were in a relationship and it broke up and they were heartbroken. But then they were available to find an incredible relationship. And if the other one hadn't broken up, they'd never have had this much better relationship. Yeah, it's another example.
There's an amazing book I'm reading right now that I had been on my list for a while, and finally I felt like it was the right time. But it's so interesting you're talking about this, because the book is called The Obstacle is the Way. And it's written by Ryan Holiday. He's one of my favorite authors. And he uses a lot of reference points to historical figures and was talking a lot about like John Rockefeller and Ulysses Grant, and like how it was truly the obstacles in them and their capacity to have a different psychology related to obstacles that actually enabled them to be successful. Rockefeller making his fortune during the Great Depression because he chose to have an objective and not an emotional engagement in terms of the stock market and how we as a society get caught up in these really superficial fear-based things. And he was able to step back. And it's actually a really fascinating and compelling read around how obstacles are in fact the greatest gift and acceleration of one's development in life or business. So it's just so interesting that that's what you're talking about here. And that's a message, yeah, that I'm picking up on the other side. So I hope it doesn't mean there's obstacles coming my way.
I'm going to get that book because there's a saying from Lao Tzu who started Taoism, what's in the way is the way.
Yes.
What's in the way is the way. And that's one of our principles in energetic NLP is. And in fact, it's interesting in Hinduism, a lot of people have heard of Ganesh. They show him like as an elephant headed god. And people pray to him to remove obstacles in their life. Well, I was reading about him, and it turns out he's also the one who puts the obstacles there because there's a purpose to them.
Right. That's where you get growth.
On October 26th and 27th, we're doing something really special in Toronto. For those of you who have been hanging out on the Anthropology podcast for a period of time, you know that we are driven by the mission that when people are well, they can change the world. On October 26th and 27th, I'm going to be hosting an event in Toronto called Impact Lives. This event has been designed for clinician entrepreneurs and wellness entrepreneurs in general who want to learn how to amplify their business. We are bringing in keynote speakers from across North America and implementation session leaders to help you not only become more inspired with respect to your business, but to learn new skills that you can start to implement right away. Whether you want to launch your own podcast, write your first book proposal, or create a system for patient acquisition or new clients that takes your business to the whole new level, we have got your back. Impact Lives is a two-day event taking place at the Globe and Mail Center in downtown Toronto in a stunning venue that overlooks the city. It's going to bring together 150 passionate entrepreneurs looking to take the lives of their families, themselves, and the people that they work with to a whole new level. For those of you who have been loyal listeners, I would love to have you there. There is a coupon code that I am releasing just for listeners of the Anthropology podcast. That is Anthropology20. And if you go to impactlivesevent.com, you can use that coupon code to receive 20% off the ticket price for the event happening in October. I cannot wait to see action takers, go-getters, and anthropologists like yourselves there when we gather together for Impact Lives.
All right, I feel like this is a fantastic place to transition to the second part of our interview. And this is a section that I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we would have these in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. So I've got six rapid fire questions for you, which just give our listeners a little bit more insight in terms of who you are and how you put these principles into practice.
Great.
Okay, first one. Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share?
Yes, and I taught people part of it today. So before I go to bed, and I do the same thing in the morning, I use my magnets. Then I do, and these things are all explained on that webinar. I do my magnets. I clear what other people's energies were hooked into and other blocks that I have. I bring in energy at night, energy that's good for rest and sleeping. And I retrieve my energies. And in the morning, I do the same kind of thing. I do the magnets. I clear any blocks. And I bring in energies that will help me for the day. And I bring in more of my energy. So those are my routines.
Love it. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Both. I'm the kind of person that has 80 windows open on their computer. Fiction, the author's name is Ken Liu, I guess it's pronounced L-I-U, and The Paper Menagerie and Other Stories. It's kind of science fiction fantasy, but he's a really, really, really good writer. I mean, a lot of those kind of novels are entertaining, but he's really good. And again, I'm reading a couple of nonfiction books, but one that's very interesting, it's called Persuasion, like Persuasion.
Yes, that's a great one.
Yeah, about Cialdini. Mm-hmm. And a fascinating book about how we make decisions. And it's really valuable for learning how to influence people, but also how to notice how we're influenced. And factors that people would never think had anything to do with their making decisions. You realize how irrational decision making is, but there's a pattern to it, and so a fascinating book.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Badass about me?
You weren't expecting that question, were you?
Yeah, what's one of those things? How do we define badass? How do you define badass?
So I'd just say like something sort of hardcore or different or kind of cool, like little known fact that people would not otherwise know about Art Geyser.
Yeah, when people who know me from my work, because when I'm bringing in certain energies, and there's a lot of divine feminine energy, there's a softness to it, but kind of the inner me, I've got a strong macho part, and they're like, boom, boom, like, you know, do it now kind of thing. So a lot of times, and I have the other part too, but a lot of times people are surprised when they see that part of me like, oh, we didn't know you had that in you. And I go, oh, yeah.
I love it. The yin and yang.
Yeah, I like it as long as it's balanced. I used to go too far that way. I was kind of take no prisoners. But now that I brought in the other part, then it makes a nice balance.
I love that. And what do you do for fun or play?
I love to be outside. I love the beach, hikes, nature, you know, being with friends. I love learning and growing. I mean, to me, a lot of my work is play. When I'm teaching my training programs, particularly when we get past the basics, it's just really fun for me. And so I'm always learning, growing, and developing. I mean, the worst thing somebody could tell me is that 5 years from now, I would believe exactly what I believe today. That would make me depressed. So that's fun for me. And I like movies, you know, and all the books.
And last question for you, Art. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think that there are some people who are born that way. Some people develop that way in childhood. I think it's totally learnable. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur for many years now, but that was never a goal of mine, or I didn't think that way. I mean, I was always independent, but I was always looking for a job that fit me. And it was a big change to be able to go, oh, maybe I should make something up, you know, and create it. Remember my first girlfriend in college, years later, she went, all right, you keep looking for a job that'll fit you. You're not going to find it. You're going to have to make it. And I knew she was right, but it took me years to do it. So I know that entrepreneurs can be made, and people can learn to do it both in their own way, but by adopting, you know, adding in ways of thinking and acting that help. And there are some people that it just is totally natural for, but we can all do it.
Yeah, you connect to that purpose enough, and we can all find those skills. Art, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. We will definitely link people up to that gift that you have offered everyone, and we are very appreciative of that. Where else can people find you to learn more about what you're up to?
Yes, if they go to energeticnlp.com, or to make it easier, if they just put in the initials ENLP and the number 7.com, we'll take them to my website. And I do a lot of free webinars and, you know, and then a lot of training programs. But I'm also on YouTube and Facebook. If they look up Energetic NLP, they'll find me on YouTube or Facebook.
Art, you're everywhere. Thank you for being here. This information was so interesting and fascinating, and I love being able to explore the connection between health and business and energetics, and you did a great job with that today. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show, and you create such a nice energy. I felt held the entire time, which is really great.
Amazing. Well, it was such a pleasure. Art, take care. Thank you so much.
Thanks, and thanks to everybody.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.